Browns, Cavs, Guards. Browns, Cavs, Guards. Guards, Cavs, Brent. Jason Lloyd, to talk about them all.
Mumford and Sons.
Oh, yeah, hold on. I got to do Mumford and Sons, Jason. Win a pair of tickets. I'll do the Jason Lloyd read. Win a pair of tickets to Mumford and Sons with good neighbors at Blossom Music Center on June 18th. Enter the word soul. Soul by the end of this hour at 92.3thefan.com to get registered to win and qualify for the grand prize and upgrade to the pavilion. Tickets are available at LiveNation.com as part of the Minutemen Workforce Concert Solution Series. Good luck. And he does that thing where he goes away and you can't hear the rest of what he's saying because he comes off the mic too quick.
I would call. That was exciting. I would call.
Word is soul. No, I'm not asking them to call. They got to go to the website, 92.3thefan.com. Pay attention.
Oh, whatever. Whatever. I have ADD.
Mumford and Sons.
I love Mumford and Sons. I'd go to that.
Yeah, name three songs by him.
I don't know.
Exactly. Wait, just everybody's just telling us lies.
I saw them
around here today, aren't they?
No, but that's one of those groups that like you just like their music on in the background, but you can't remember. Like there's them and there's another one just like them, and I confuse them all the time. But I like them both.
The Lumineers, I bet it is.
Yeah. That's it.
Where to get a soul.
I could never tell them apart, but I love their stuff. It's great. Just have them in the background.
S-O-U-L, soul, is that word again, and you can win tickets to go see them, and you can get the grand prize to be under the pavilion to go see them. I haven't been under the pavilion. I've never been classy enough to do it. I heard it's a fantastic experience. So a fantastic experience is also watching all four of these quarterbacks in camp, Jason.
There was
a question that we had. Oh, come on. I'm being serious here. There was a question that I asked, not about the Browns. How many? You kind of shy away from the general population. You got gated communities and all that stuff over there.
Oh, shut up.
Do you believe that the majority of Browns fans, the vast majority of Browns fans, would just be willing to trade Dylan Gabriel away for nothing just to get him out of here right now?
Do I think fans would trade? Well, I think there's. I mean, I don't know what the percentage is. I think there's some that feel like that would clear the way for Shador, so yes, get him out. Yeah.
Well, I'm not gonna debate with Jason. I'll debate with Lyman, but go right on ahead, Jason.
It's nothing against Gabriel. I just think there's a segment of the fan base, probably a large segment, that wants to see Shador. I don't think they're going to right away, but I think that they're clamming for Shador because that's what we're all talking about. That's what everybody's talking about. And I kind of feel bad for Dylan Gabriel. I was thinking about that yesterday because he didn't ask for any of this. If he was a little bit bigger, I think he could be a fine NFL quarterback. He's got a great arm. I actually thought this week, both Shador and Dylan handled themselves well in interviews, and you could just tell that they're both very thoughtful in the way that they think things through. And I've enjoyed talking to both of them or listening to both of them. But are there fans that want to get him out of here? Probably, just to clear the path for the guy that they really want to see who they're not going to see.
Well, I think that's kind of the heart of our debate here is what makes this so challenging is there are four quarterbacks. And we just got into it before you came on, Jason, about whether that's a good thing or the bad thing. I think it's a bad thing because I think it has a greater chance of sabotaging all the young quarterbacks by having too many to worry about. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe one just emerges and is so much better than the rest. But what is the likelihood of that when one was Kenny Pickett, I don't even know how to include him in the conversation, and then the other two were third and fifth round picks, when normally third and fifth round picks are lucky to be backups in this league?
Well, you don't know how to include him in the conversation. I still think he's the starter. Kenny Pickett's going to start the first game. I'll be shocked if he doesn't. And I say that as someone who's watched every single throw, not all of them, but most of these throws. And I think, Flacco to me looks like the best quarterback out there, but I think Kenny Pickett's going to be the starter.
You say that very confidently, Jason. Why?
I just how I see it. That's just what I think.
But hold on, Jason. Think about confusing what you just said was. You just said, I think Flacco's the best quarterback, but Pickett's going to start, but the fans want to see Shador.
Yeah. So, but, listen.
Yet they took the other one, Dylan Gabriel, ahead of Shador. That's the most confusing quarterback situation ever.
And this is just, I think there's other people who agree with me, but this, we're not NFL talent evaluators, but from what, and we see just a small snippet of what's going on. That's why so much of what we're talking about here just gets over. But I get it. This is the game and we got to do it. I get it. But this gets so blown out of proportion when you're talking about rookie mini camps and OTAs and mandatory mini camps, because we're just seeing such a small sliver of what it is that they're doing and what they're looking for. What we see and what they're looking for don't always align. I just, for a lot of reasons, I just think Kenny's going to be the day one starter. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he just completely collapses in training camp. And I mean, first time Joe Flacco dropped back and threw it, I said, yep, he's still got it. The old man can still spin it. And he's looked to me like he's got the best arm. He's the best quarterback on this roster. But I've been pretty consistent on this. I don't know what playing a 40-year-old quarterback, where that gets you with what they're trying to get out of this year. It's all about developing or trying to develop or seeing what you have, I guess. It's a better way. I don't know if it's necessarily developing the young guys. It's seeing what you have in the young guys. Because I'm of the belief as soon as they traded down on draft day, they are taking a quarterback next year in the first round until proven otherwise.
True.
And I joked about this a couple weeks ago that, you know, like in the court of law, you got to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. Well, one of these guys has to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that there's not a reason to take a quarterback next year. Because as of now, as we sit here now, there is no doubt to me that the future quarterback of the Browns, they believe, is not on this roster yet, and they're going to take him in the first round until one of these young guys proves them otherwise.
So the quarterback you would trust the most personally to start the season to win some football games is Joe Flacco, correct? Quick answer.
Yes.
Okay, do you believe the fans feel the same way you do?
Yeah.
Okay, the majority of fans feel the same way you do. So how does the organization then, if they decide to start Kenny Pickett at the beginning of the year, tell everybody that they are a serious group if they decide to start Kenny Pickett with the season instead of Joe Flacco?
Because, well, they can say whatever they want. You can make a case for Kenny that, you know, he got run out of Pittsburgh. He got kind of screwed in the end, and they didn't set him up for success. And he's younger. He's mobile. Like, you can come up with they can say whatever they want. They can come up with a bunch of reasons. I'll go back to what I said earlier. I don't know what's the benefit of playing a 40-year-old quarterback. The whole goal of this season is either to find a franchise quarterback or put yourself in position to go get a franchise quarterback. That's it. Nothing else matters until they figure out the freaking quarterback. We've been saying it for 25 years, and we're still saying it. And I don't know where playing a 40-year-old quarterback, where is that? It might get you an extra win or two. Okay, congratulations. But it doesn't solve the greater puzzle that they're trying to solve.
So Kevin and Andrew are perfectly safe for 2026.
I mean, as soon as they traded down from 3 to 5, is that a move that a general manager makes who's in fear of his job?
Absolutely not, but that's why I'm asking you. You're one of the insiders I trust.
I mean, no, I believe they're safe, yeah. Now, you have to trust, I've said this before, you got to trust ownership on that, you know, that they don't get emotional and make an emotional decision in October when if they're, you know, if you're 2-6, 2-7, and people like you and me are screaming about how awful this is, and that's going to happen. You say whatever you want now. When you're in the fire, when you're in the thick of it, everyone's going to scream about how awful this is and look at this regime and they can't do anything right and blah, 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 blah. And you have to trust ownership to hold the rope and not make an emotional rash decision, which is hard to do. I was having a conversation, you know, with all these NBA firings going on, I was having a conversation with the NBA executive who said, like, there's only so many things that an owner can do. And the worst thing, and this applies to all sports, an owner never wants to be looked at as the fans care more than them. And what options do they have? Fire people. That's it. So you just have to be, you're putting a lot of trust in the ownership group not to make a rash decision.
But you're putting the fans in an impossible position then.
Absolutely.
Because you know exactly where I'm going this. When do I judge them on wins? Like, this will be like the third different changeover in 6 years where, like, you can't judge them on wins. It's professional sports. How am I not supposed to judge my favorite team on wins?
And that's why I said at the end of last year, listen, would I fire them? No. But I totally get why people feel that way. I get it. I totally get it. But I just look at the Deshaun thing as it just wrecked the franchise. It absolutely wrecked the franchise. And if you look at that, and if Jimmy does put his hand up and he says that was on me, and I've already laid out before how it's my understanding how that went, that yes, Andrew wanted them. Yes, Andrew really liked them. Yes, Kevin liked them. They were on board. But the whole thing got to a point where it felt like we can't do this. We can't guarantee the whole thing. And Jimmy said, go. We're too far into it now. We're just going to, we have to go. We can't take no for an answer. So if Jimmy uses that as the foundation of this one's on me, guys, you know, I'm not going to hold you accountable for that. That's how you justify this. It wrecked the franchise. And now you have to pull yourself out of the rubble of that. So if you weren't going to fire them after last year, I don't see how you fire them this year, because you know you're not going to be very good.
I don't understand that, but again, he basically admitted the mistake, did he not, during the offseason, talking about the owner?
Meetings.
Okay,
yeah.
So there's only so many times you go, it's my fault, it's my fault, it's my fault, and you've empowered those people to make those decisions. Okay, you've empowered them to do what? To bring in more quarterbacks? Okay, what decision was their decision? So now I'm asking more questions instead of getting more answers here. I've empowered them to do what? Draft Jed Wills instead of Tristan Wirfs. I've empowered them to do what? Take more guys in the third round as wide receivers who don't pan out. I've empowered them to do what exactly? Like that goes down a very bad road here.
Well, that's why I said if you want to fire him after last year, I get it. If you want to blow everybody out after last year was horrendous. I think it took years off people's lives who were in that building. But if you weren't going to fire them after last year, why would you fire them now?
I would agree. Jason, I mean, I said it's like, well, 2025 isn't the guarantee you want. You want 2026 to be the guarantee if you're going to keep all these guys.
Yeah. I mean, so you're going to give them another chance. You're going to give them another shot at swinging at another quarterback, and they're going to take another quarterback at the top of the first round next year, unless one of these guys, whether it's Pickett or whether it's one of the rookies, really emerges as the guy who – but again – The worst thing that could happen this year, in my opinion, the worst thing that could happen is one of these guys is just good enough to make you think that if you hold it in the right light, maybe you got something here. And then you pass on the opportunity to take a quarterback at the top of the first round next year.
Has to be without a shadow of a doubt. It has to be in the worst light. Yeah.
So everyone has to be horrible or one of them has to be phenomenal. But the worst thing that could come out of this is you get one guy who makes, I don't know, 6 or 7 starts and some pretty good moments, couple moments, and you think maybe there's something here. That, to me, is disaster. Like, you want them all to be bad or one of them to just be head and shoulders so good that it brings out the type of season that no one at this point thinks is possible.
All right, Jason, quickly, switching to basketball, the Darius Garland surgery news, does that end any kind of Garland trade talks?
It certainly makes it a lot harder. I don't think it's impossible to trade him, but I don't think it's likely. It's not an ACL. It's not an Achilles. You know, it's a toe. It's anytime you're having surgery, it's serious. It's significant. But I don't think it's anything that should hinder him throughout his career or anything like that. But obviously, if you're a team trying to acquire him, you want to trade for a guy who's healthy. So I don't think it's impossible, but I think certainly it impacts it pretty significantly.
Okay, watching the Pacers and the Oklahoma City Thunder, does it get the Cavs off the hook a little bit that the Pacers are 2 games away from an NBA Finals championship?
If they finish it off, yeah, I think it does. Because this came up after the Knicks series. I was like, guys, the Cavs are better than the Knicks. So, you know, to me that was like, if you're Ohio State and lost to Boise State.
You sure about that?
Well, hear me out. Throughout the regular season, yes. What we thought they were, yes. So if Boise State beats Ohio State and then Boise State beats Penn State, does that make you feel better that they beat Penn State? No, you're Ohio State. You're supposed to win it. I still believe – like, I'm curious to see, had everyone been healthy, how that series would have gone. Obviously, what the Pacers have gone on to do. If they finish off Oklahoma City – and by the way, I would still take the Thunder to win the series. I still think they're the better team. But – if the Pacers do this and they beat them, yeah, I think it does lessen some of the heat on the Cavs, because this would finish one of the most historical runs we've ever seen. I was looking up this morning. Last time a team with 50 or fewer games won the championship was 1994. Like, Pacers won 50 games in regular season. The Rockets won 47 in 94, and they took out a 60-win team and a 62-win team in the West to do it. For the Pacers to do this, if they take out what were the Cavs, 64 and 68, the 68-win Thunder, like, when's the last time? We've never seen that before. And so when you go back, when you have to go back 30 years to find the last time something happened, if they do it, then you just sort of tip your cap to them and say, well, that's incredible. That's one of the greatest two-month runs we've seen. Congratulations. It will probably won't happen again for another 30 years. But I still think the Thunder are the better team, and I still think the Thunder will win the series. But, I mean, obviously this is all on game four now. If Indy goes up 3-1, it's over. If the Thunder get it back to 2-2, I think this is one of those instances where whoever wins game four wins the series.
I wish I had more time with you, but we will have more time here in a few weeks or a couple of weeks. Jason, thank you so much for your time now, and all the best to you and yours.
See you, boys.
Jason Lloyd from The Athletic on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So we had Jason on. I mean, did you hear like around how we went there? The exchange that you and Jason had was wild. Usually you click in and we just went over something. It's like a knockdown, drag-out fight. No, I think everybody kind of saw how bizarre the situation was talking to Jason, not just about the Cavs. I mean, that was some good stuff between you two, but also about what was going on with the quarterback situation, because there's so many things where it's like, well, if you say this, then that doesn't make sense. If you say that, then this doesn't make sense. About both Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders, and let me throw in Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco there in a moment. I got some audio you guys have to hear of about Joe Flacco here momentarily. But go right on ahead there, Tone.
Well, just how convinced Jason Lloyd was of who Kenny was going to start week one. He said Kenny Pickett. He said Pickett's going to start week one. He said Flacco's the best quarterback. Listen to Lloyd moments ago during our interview. You know, Kenny Pickett, I don't even know how to include him in the conversation.
You don't know how to include him in the conversation. I still think he's the starter. Kenny Pickett's going to start the first game. I'll be shocked if he doesn't.
Hold on, Jason, think about confusing what you just said was. You just said, I think Flacco's the best quarterback, but Pickett's going to start, but the fans want to see Shedeur.
Yeah. But I mean,
yet they took the other one, Dylan Gabriel, ahead of Shedeur. That's the most confusing quarterback situation ever.
I don't know if it's necessarily developing the young guys. Future quarterback of the Browns, they believe, is not on this roster yet, and they're going to take him in the first round until one of these young guys proves them otherwise.
So, I mean, you guys talking about that with the quarterbacks, that is a bizarre scenario for a lot of fans. And I find it very hard. Like, you are going to have to say, you're going to have to line up the pundits. And maybe we'll see it. Maybe we'll see it in the preseason. Maybe you won't have to. Maybe Kenny Pickett's just going to go out there and look like a stud. You're going to have to line up the pundits who really like Kenny Pickett to talk people into that. I think Joe Flacco, for the fan base, it's either they want the guy that they trust or come closest to trusting, or let's call it what it is. Now, I know I've been beating up on Peterlin a little bit for that whole 99% thing about Dylan Gabriel. They want to see the guy they trust, or they want to see the guy they're most curious of. Am I right or am I right? Owen, you have something to say.
Doesn't it feel like there was nothing about Pickett starting week one until the draft when Junkins and Fannin both said, well, Kenny's the guy that texted me. You know, when they were getting their post-draft interviews and talking about who from the team had reached out to them, and they both said, Kenny Pickett, you know, shot me a text and said, welcome to the team and all that. And that's when people went, well, does that mean he's the starting quarterback? I think there's such a cloud on... You know, it truly is a four-horse race right now, right? I mean, between anyone, it's a four-horse race at quarterback. The way that he went out and put himself out there, I guess he put his name into the fold just by sending those texts.
216-474-0092. This is going to be a bizarre thing because I'm going to play some audio for you here. This is from Frank Schwab. Yahoo, correct? Yahoo? Frank Schwab, afternoon drive yesterday, that if you heard what you heard from Jason and that disturbed you, Jason was nice compared to what you're about to hear to start this season from Frank Schwab. Hit it.
Not much. I mean, I think maybe in the Browns' minds, there's a lot of separation because Flacco's very safe. They know he can run the offense. They've seen what he can do. I think the memories of 2 years ago are still rattling around in their brains. But a 40-year-old Joe Flacco, really? I look at Flacco and I just say, what's the point? What's the point here? Like, a Browns team that's probably not going to be good this year is going to start a 40-year-old Joe Flacco, who really, honestly, aside from that six-game stretch with the Browns a couple of years ago, hasn't been good since in 10 years. Like, I'm not trying to just diss Joe Flacco here. I have nothing against him, but honestly, I don't see any reason to start Joe Flacco.
The reason to start Joe Flacco is simple. This is why you can't you can't cover the sports being completely away from them. You know, if you and I were to do this in a different capacity and say that it was on Infinity, right? I think a lot of fans, if we're talking about their favorite teams, I think that there would be a disconnect there. Because I've been in the locker room, you've been in the locker room, you've been to the facility, I've been to the facility, obviously. But I think it's true of anything, whether it be the Browns, whether it be the Steelers, whether it be the Seattle Seahawks, any NFL team. And really, when you think about it, when you get to all pro sports, you got veterans there in there. You have to try. And it's not just about faking it for the fans and putting on some facade as if we're trying to win or anything. There are so, if you were not going to try to make an effort to do right by your veterans and to get their attention yet again, then what was the point of any of this? What was the point of meeting with Joel and getting him to come back for another year? What was the point of, let's be honest here, think about all the contracts that we all lined up and said, well, it's too prohibitive because of the dead cap situation. We can't do it. What was the point of the Greg Newsom conversations? What was the point of the Wyatt Teller conversation? And I like both those guys. What was the point of signing Myles Garrett to an extension? If we're just going to say, well, there's no reason to really start Joe Flacco. Now, I don't even want to hammer on Frank Schwab because of that, because Frank Schwab probably looks in and goes, hey, you're either growing or you're dying. There's no third direction. If you're just going to sit there and be in the meaty middle, good luck to you. Because he doesn't have any faith in the franchise regardless. So that ain't Frank Schwab's fault. That's the Browns' fault. But there's a very sincere reason why you start Joe Flacco. The veterans like him. Veterans like him. They trust him. So it's Kenny's job to step up as best he can as a guy who gets these veterans' attention, gets their respect if he wants to be the starter. That's the job of this. That is what it is. When we play Greg Newsom on the station, can't find it here, but if we play Greg Newsom on the station talking about how Shedeur Sanders has gotten guys' attention in the right way, being an affable teammate, being the right type of veteran, being that type of guy, that means something. Even though Greg Newsom might not even be here next year. You still need to get the veterans. You got to be able to lead guys and brainwash them to play for you. Hit it.
He's been amazing. A sponge, I would say. I mean, it's just crazy that a guy this young with this much notoriety can just handle media and things like that. I think his dad has really taught him how, you know, to be that guy in the spotlight and understand that what comes with it. And I think he's been doing an incredible job of just learning and getting better each day.
That's Greg Newsom. And where was he talking about
NFL
again?
Network,
it was the
yeah.
NFL
Good
Network.
Morning,
Thank
football.
You very much on Good Morning Football. So that's Greg Newsom. That's one of your veterans. Yeah, I know. He might not be because you still have to put together a season. And what makes this most bizarre is that, guys, if it were a new head coach, if Kevin was in his rookie year and Andrew was in his rookie year, wash your hands of all of it and away we go. And you could look towards the future. It's bizarre to me that we're in year six. And I got to tell you, from day to day, I don't know whether to tell you that they're all in on winning or whether it's even the right move. Because I don't know from day to day if they're being judged on winning. Do you? Do fans? Anthony? Do
no,
you know
I mean,
whether
I...
or not? Okay, so if we're unclear of the identity of the team and unclear of the goal, I just don't know how you go, all right, we signed these guys, we signed Myles Garrett to an extension, and now it makes it even more difficult to trade him. Impossible to trade him now, okay? But we're not serious about winning. What was the point of any of this? What was the point? The fans aren't stupid. They've been through all these scenarios. You guys are not stupid. As much as you guys want to call each other stupid on social media, as if that's a real place, you're not stupid. You know why? Because you've seen all this before for the last 25 years at any given time. It's all history repeating itself. Lily pads of blame, different quarterbacks, what they bring, what they don't bring, head coaches, what they say, what they don't say, general managers, and the talking out of both sides of the mouth that they do. Seasons that mean something, seasons that don't mean something. Does it mean anything? Well, I don't know. When will it mean something? I don't know. It's the same scenario that plays out over 25 years. So how could you be dumb? You've seen it all. You've seen every single type of offense. You've seen every single type of defense. We haven't ran the wing T yet. We'll see. You've seen it all. And I know this because this is the same. I remember saying this. I swear to God, I'll have Keith pull. I know we were owned by a different company then. I should have Keith pull the audio. I remember saying this in 2011. So if you've seen it all, and I don't know whether we're coming or going on this, it's like, hold on. Let's get back to the start before we forget where we're trying to go. That's why Joe starts the season, Browns fans. I need a guy I can just trust to start the year. I don't think there's any realistic Browns fans out there that think that this team has Super Bowl aspirations or playoff aspirations. I think that there's some people who would like to win a couple more than three games that they won last year and would like to see their favorite football team try to win football games. Start the season with the guy who you'd have most confidence in, who I know that the veterans have the most confidence in. And if it ends up being Kenny Pickett, I'll see where that goes. But as of right now, it's Joe Flacco. Coming in hot last week was an abomination to the art of radio. Is it an art, Tone? Today hasn't been.
Not a science today.
Yeah. You don't want to come off as pompous, but it is some sort of an art. But it does sound, you know, pretty pompous to say, we are performing, we're giving you soul.
That's the time when they perform. I just stand by and laugh and try to make sure you guys don't say something that's going to get us all in a lot of trouble.
I've heard you laugh before. Now that was an art.
If you guys turn in another performance like you did last week, I'm going to have to take it away for a minute.
That could be it.
I'm going to have to pull it off the shelf, and we're just going to have to say, you know what?
Either a diabolical question, or we'll book a prep interview, a prep site interview. What that means is we get emails every day about, hey, do you want to talk to this person? It's Flag Day. This person's representing Flag Day for the
community. It is Flag Day.
And then we would have them on and just do a total goof interview to take up the time. We will do something like that.
So I was going to say, if you guys messed up coming in hot before the draft, my dive, and you almost did it, but we were able to get away from the dumps that quickly and we were able to get some callers back. If you guys were going to mess up coming in hot, I was going to ask you, and I was going to be a sincere and do a sincere segment on it, of would you give up number two overall for Baker Mayfield? Because that's part of the diabolical question. I don't just sit there and ass off about the question.
No, we have the questions.
We have to be serious about it. Annoyingly serious about it. The ones that you guys all make fun of on the internet about those segments that are done by some of the other shows, that we were going to do it. If you guys messed it up, I will put my head together with Owen and Lima, and we will think of something far worse if coming in hot is not good tomorrow. I thought it was going to be one for the ages, considering what was going on social media between the President of the United States and the most rich man in the entire world, the richest man in the entire world. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be an all-timer. It sucked out loud. So I have to lay down the gauntlet for everybody. It's June. It's your time to shine. It's summer hack radio season coming up here, folks. It is your time to shine. Keep your comments within the boundaries of good taste. Don't be cussing. Okay? I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to have to bring the A game. Because if it's anything like last week, holy potatoes. All right, 216-474-0092. We get the Demos and Shaker. You're next up on the fan. Hello, Demos.
Good morning, fellas.
So a good caller like Demos. Demos is a good caller. Yes. Well, we'll see where it goes, but he's a good caller.
No. Kenny Pickett is going to be starting. I know you hate him, Ken. I don't like him either, okay?
I don't hate him. But to sit there
and say that Joe Flacco, I heard the guy yesterday talking about him and disparaging him, you know, a 40-year-old. He's an interception machine. So was Jameis Winston. And I can't believe you would want to start our season with that. I think he's a great guy for practice.
Well, I don't think it guarantees an interception on the first pass.
I totally disagree.
Wait, hold on.
If you're a machine,
That's silly, too, okay? All I'm saying here is...
I love that. That's silly. Well, okay. Well, hold on.
We've got a whole, you know, a summer of practice going here, okay? The Browns have, like, two ways to go here. Either the two rookies are going to pan out and they're going to trade Flacco or Kenny Pickett, or one of the two rookies aren't going to pan out, and we're going to have a third stringer, and it's going to be Kenny Pickett, Joe, and then a rookie.
What about the third option, Demos?
Go ahead.
What if both rookies don't pan out?
That's what I'm saying. They're going to keep the least worst one as the third.
But what about the other option?
Do you want me to tell you why you're wrong now, or do you have any more else to say, Dean?
No. Listen, we don't know who's going to be wrong yet, okay?
I'll tell you what.
I reserve the right to still be wrong in a couple months. I'm just saying, let's play it out.
But your reasoning is totally false because you did not mention his teammate. You didn't mention his teammates. You didn't mention the veterans once. That was my entire premise. Did I mention interceptions once at all? And by the way, he will have. Well, hold on. He didn't have Nick Chubb that season either. And I imagine he's going to have a different, at least a better running back room. You could put dead people behind him, and he would have a better running back behind him than what he had at that time. So
I would be much happier to have him handing it off than whipping it downfield.
Well, they're going to do that. Yeah.
But
it's not even just about that and about turnovers and things like that. Yeah, he is a turnover machine. I've made that mention several times. At the end of 2023, it's not the rosy type of performances we remember. I have to go by what the veterans trust. You got a lot of veterans who have a lot of experience there. And they've had a lot of experience with bad things going on. You cannot deny the trust that they had with Joe Flacco. You can't deny that. That's why that's part of the reason it's been such an out and out disaster here over the last 3 years with you know who. Because each of the last 3 years, they've trusted somebody else. They put the C on one guy's chest. They gave him a game ball for like 100 yards throwing once, and they've always trusted somebody else, whether it be Jacoby Brissett, Jameis Winston, who's another interception machine, or Joe Flacco. They've always trusted somebody else. So what will make me happier, not happy, but give me the most trust and at least give me some sort of faith is like, hey, unless you can prove to me that Kenny Pickett has their full faith and confidence, the guy I know as of right now that they trust the most, those veterans, is Joe Flacco. And that's why I'm not budging from that, at least not in June. I'm not budging from that. I know he's not the sexiest didn't he win something or something that one time or something like that?
He's probably been a sexiest man alive.
Yeah, he's a good looking man. Let's call it what it is. Tall, dark, handsome, that old thing. He's not the most fun name to talk about. There are good memories there. They'll either go with the guy they trust. I think fans feel they want to go with the guy they trust the most or the guy that they're most curious about. I don't hate Kenny Pickett. He just has a long way to go before I really trust him. Now, I'll say this. When I was out there on Tuesday, he does throw a stronger ball than I remember. Maybe we'll see something out of him. Never forget what the Pittsburgh Steelers were trying to say about him out the door. And other teams talk about a lot of other guys on their way out the door. I don't really hear the Steelers say a lot. Most of those guys who they let go of, they do it themselves. Antonio Brown still talking about it. You ready for the podcast after the show?
Born ready.
10:15 Eastern, 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app. Now that's XTRA, 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app. You have thoughts on this Shamar Stewart stuff?
I do.
Down there in Cincinnati.
Four different scenarios that could go down with this if things get even more complicated. We will have the analysis.
It's all coming up, 10:15 Eastern.
And why is there some garage door salesman just standing on the driving range hitting balls at Oakmont in the U.S. Open all by himself?
Oh. He just went rogue there on me. We're back tomorrow, 6 to 10. For Big Country, for Jeff, for Mitch, the Slippery Wizard, Anthony Lyman. I'm telling you guys, 9:45 tomorrow. Bring it. Bring it strong. Okay? It's time to rise up and overcome. Let's do it. Together. Together. Like Craig T. Nelson in All the Right Moves. Together. I'm Ken Carman. Have a wonderful day, my friends. If the Guardians played, I'd say go Guards, but I'll say it anyway. Just for the future. Go Guards.